Welcome to 6 Minute Stories, where you can hear the writing of new voices and experienced writers whose submissions appear in the anthologies of the Personal Story Publishing Project. Now in Season 2, you will hear stories from our third collection, That Southern Thing, Living, Loving, Laughing, Loathing, Leaving the South. Everybody loves a good story. We hope you enjoy this one. This episode is a spoken word performance by the author. This story includes explicit language and racial epithets.
All That I Could Say by Lauren Summers. The first time was on a field trip at age 12. I was seated on the back of the bus. The memory so clear to me as if it were yesterday, except it wasn't, and yet occurrences such as these happen every day. Dressed in Carhartt and washed denim jeans, he turned around and his blue-eyed stare preyed upon me unprovoked as he finally opened his mouth to say, "You're a niglet." I inquired because at the time I had no clue what such a word meant until he fixed his mouth to say, "It means you're a tiny nigger." At that moment, it should have clicked, but the experience settled into my mind, marred by the bliss of not knowing until a time would come where it would be defined. 15 years old at my high school's football game, I stood in the freezing weather atop a hill, watching the field, oblivious of the position I was soon to be in, until a white boy walked up to me with a smirk on his face. "Hey, my favorite nigger." Everything went silent except for the sound of my heart that pounded in my ears. I stood isolated inside that moment as his pink lips kept moving and all I could see was his dirty blonde hair, his heavy stare, the pattern on his coat, his thick brown boots, which I imagined stomping into my stomach. That's quite how that moment felt, but like the careful young black girl I was, I kept my composure. Hands in pockets, legs locked, muscles so tense in the cold air that they ached from the shock turned to anger that rippled apart inside of me. 2 years later, my best friend at that school would fall in love with him. Time went on how it did until one day after school, he and she intertwined the way lovers are. He pulled away to talk about his ways, and without hesitation, I called him a redneck. Moments later, catching up to me as I sat behind the wheel of my gold 97 Altima, he leaned into my driver window. Eye to eye with me, he opened his mouth to say, "If I'm a redneck, then you're a nigger." But no noise went unheard, no muscle in my body froze. A rage exploded inside me that beat against my chest and climbed up out of my throat. "Don't you ever in your fucking life call me that again." I stared into his penetrating eyes once more before tearing off, leaving the parking lot. Speeding down the road, that familiar ache in my stomach came back once more as warm, salty tears formed around the brim of my eyes, spilling down my cheeks. I'd eventually go off to university, leaving almost everything from high school behind. The summer after graduating, Zimmerman was acquitted. Trayvon was no less murdered. I learned to be angry and that it was okay to be angry. I'd go off to school to learn words like white supremacy and anti-blackness, and how to voice the concept of things I always knew yet never knew how to articulate. I'd go on to attend protests in North Carolina. Blue lights flickered against the backdrop of a December night in 14, a deafening ringing in my ears. Durham riot police moved toward the crowd, throwing protesters to the ground. Tears spilled down my cheeks as I angrily looked a black officer in his eyes. We didn't change anything that night, but we were angry. I'd begin to attend spoken words, standing on a stage with the shaky legs of an amateur, the glow of a phone screen on my face while I read a poem I wrote on the beauty of black women. My hands trembled, yet I learned to find my voice in spaces where they weren't always welcome. Despite all of that, at 22, I saw that old classmate one night leaving a sweaty bar. The music deafening, and in spite of the alcohol coursing through my blood, the sobering feeling of the past jolted through my body. His heavy stare laid upon me with a smirk on his face, and like at 15, I froze. "You married now?" he eventually inquired. "He dehumanized you. Don't answer him." "No." "Have any kids now?" Spit in his face. "He doesn't need to know anything about you." "No," a voice responded. As I walked away, my clothes clung to my clammy skin. the breath finally expelled from my lungs. I walked away that night feeling defeated, but not by him. The voice I had learned to find somehow abandoned me that night. I said all that I could say, yet I didn't say enough.
Copyright 2020, Lauren Summers. Lauren Summers is a writer and poet from Greensboro, North Carolina, who is a graduate from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, with a BA in English and a minor in German. While she enjoys writing speculative fiction, her poetry often deals with themes of love, loss, self-reflection, and hope. She plans to pursue her MFA and thereafter publish. Thank you for listening to another 6 Minute Story. You can read them all in the 3 anthologies of the Personal Story Publishing Project. Find the link to our online store at randalljones.com. That's RANDELL Jones.com. There you can learn about submitting your own story for consideration for our Personal Story Publishing Project. And remember, everybody loves a good story.